Let's take our Bibles and turn again to the Gospel of Matthew, the book of Matthew found in the New Testament. Again this morning, Matthew chapter 6. It's our fourth Sunday looking at the theme of prayer and specifically focusing attention on the Lord's Prayer. And this morning, just so you know where I'm going, I want to say a couple more things about prayer in general and also about the Lord's Prayer. And then this last week, I emailed some people asking them for if they had any questions about prayer, and I received a number of responses. I want to try and answer two questions that came to my attention. So two things about prayer, and then I want to try and answer two questions that people have about prayer, and then I want to ask also some of you to come and share after the message or at the end of the message maybe some of the things you've learned about prayer. And maybe words of encouragement for those of us who are learning how to pray. Maybe some of you wonder, you know, why spend four Sundays on prayer and why be so focused on having people pray? And as I was thinking about that question this past week, I asked it of myself, but I thought maybe some of you maybe have that question. I realized that deep in my heart, I have a strong conviction that although the church is centered around Jesus, you're not centered around me or around leaders in this church, which for me means that Jesus calls each one of us, each of his disciples, into the Christian life. And he calls each one of us to engage in the experience of prayer. Part of my role as a pastor is to say, you too can read and understand the Bible. And you too can be a witness for Jesus wherever he places you. And you too can be empowered to forgive others in your life. And you too can pray. God's given us words to pray. He's given us his Spirit to help us pray. And we too can be people who have lives of prayer. But I also realize that part of my focus, or part of our focus in helping or wanting us to engage in prayer, comes from my experience of reading a short book before we began this series. It was entitled A Call to Prayer by J.C. Ryle, written in the 19th century, a short book. But as he's talking about prayer, he keeps asking the same question, which at first I thought, well, that's not very original, but I realized what he was doing. He kept asking the question, do you pray? He talk about prayer, and then he asks again, do you pray? And I realized what he was doing was, you know, we can talk about prayer and think about prayer and have great discussions about prayer, but he kept asking in the book, do you pray? So enough with the conversations, enough with the discussion, what's going on in my life or in your life or in our lives? Are we people who are engaging personally in this rhythm of prayer? I want to invite Jan to come up and read for us from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. Or Reg is coming. All right. I was hoping Reg was coming, because for me this is pretty significant. Because Reg is, he loves the Lord's Prayer. And he keeps telling me we have to do more of the Lord's Prayer in our services. So for me, it's significant, Reg, that you're reading for us this morning. Thank you.
This is from Matthew chapter 6 on prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Here ends the lesson. Amen.
Let's pray together. So, Father, we thank you for this reading, and we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning to us, just read, and now we ask, O Lord, for your blessing as we think about it for a little while. Help me, but Lord, help all of us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm wondering if any of you could guess what this is supposed to be. Now, it's a little bit too big, but I was kind of told maybe get a bigger envelope than you typically would need. Anybody want to guess what I'm trying to... Now, some of you might know, so, but if you're seeing it for the first time... I can tell you, but even just looking at it, can you sort of... You know, I've got some fancy font on here, so there's fancy font, and I've got some nice gold stickers here. So if someone gave this to you, if you got this in the mail, I'm going to say, well, it's not a bill. It's what? Well, it could be certificates. That's right. The envelope's kind of that certificate size. Maybe this won't work this morning. I don't know, but it's supposed to be an invitation. An invitation. Now, I know the envelope's too big for an invitation, but some of us have gotten invitations a little bit like this, right? We can get it, you know, we get it given to us, or we pick it up and we say, again, that's not junk mail. Someone's gone through some efforts, and this is maybe an invitation to a wedding or an invitation to an event. And for this invitation, it comes from the Right Honorable Prime Minister Stephen Harper, and then given to someone also who has a lot of titles in their name, the Most Holy Reverence, Pastor Johannes Skouten. So if I got this in the mail, something like this, I'm saying, well, this is not your regular piece of mail. And I open it up, there's an invitation inside to some events, and I'm invited to this. And I'm just trying to get us, whether it's this envelope or whether you have a better image in your mind of an invitation, but I'm trying to connect invitation with the Bible this morning. I'm trying to say the Bible is not simply a book, although it is, and not simply full of words, although it is, but I want to encourage us to think about the Bible as an invitation. An invitation to hear from God and to know God. And especially this morning as we read, and Reg, thank you for reading from Matthew 6, as we're thinking about Jesus teaching us. Now, he's teaching, if you have your Bibles open, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the famous Sermon on the Mount, the most famous sermon Jesus gave, at least that we have record of. And he's teaching in that Sermon on the Mount how to live our lives. He's going through different parts of our lives, and this is how you should think, and this is how you should do this. And then he comes to this central part. It's almost in the exact center of the Sermon on the Mount, and he teaches us how to pray. And whenever Jesus is teaching us, he's inviting us to live a certain kind of way. I think teaching always does that. If we teach children how to talk, and parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles have little kids, we're just talking to them, they learn how to talk. As we teach them, we invite them to start talking. So this past week, at least for the first time, I heard our youngest daughter, Sarah, say, "Thank you, Daddy." I've been waiting for that, you know, putting two words together. She can say thank you and she can say daddy, but this past week, thank you, Daddy. And I know that for me, that was pretty significant. But also, you know, a little bit further, I'm teaching you and others as well, teaching her how to talk, and then, you know, it's like an invitation. Now you start talking. Or teach a child how to ride a bike. I can teach you, show you, I'll run beside you, but I'm really inviting you to ride the bike. For you to be able to push those pedals and go. And the same thing with Jesus. When Jesus says in the early part of this passage, "This then is how you should pray," he's inviting us to pray. He's going to show us a prayer that we can pray and some parts that we can pray as well. But he's really doing this that we might pray. And this is my experience of who God is, at least part of it, that God keeps on inviting us. He keeps on bringing the invitation into our lives. We're not always saying yes. You know, sometimes we go through seasons, sometimes a short season, sometimes a long season, sometimes a very long season of saying no, or rebelling against God, or neglecting God, or running away from God, or a season of non-prayer. We're not really praying. But God keeps on inviting us. He keeps on beckoning us and calling us into this life of prayer. Now, I want to make sure that we hear it properly this morning. When God invites us to pray, to enter into regular, very intentional communication with him, it's not like you and I inviting each other to talk or to converse or to communicate. If I invite you to talk, you know, let's have coffee, let's have lunch, let's chat, at a certain point, there's going to be an end to the conversation. And for some of us, when we're in conversation with each other, we're very glad to get to the end because the conversation's kind of dying. We're getting bored, I'm getting tired, I have to go somewhere else. But when God invites us into conversation with him, God the Father is the kind of person who is ever interesting in conversation. He always has something fresh to say to us. He's also ever interested in our conversation. He's always interested in what we have to say, in our prayers. And the experience is supposed to be, whether it seems possible or not to us, the experience is supposed to be, he's ever interested, he's ever interesting, and there is ever increasing joy in the conversation. That's the way prayer is supposed to happen. That if we've been praying for 5 weeks or months or years or longer, the experience is supposed to be after a while we say there's more joy in this prayer life now than there was before. God gives prayer to us that we might find joy in the conversation with him. So this morning I'm really eager that we hear the invitation from God to pray. It's not just command or demand or do this. But he's inviting us, he's calling us to pray to him. I'm also really eager for us to hear this morning that prayer is good news, or prayer is great news. Again, sometimes we might think, you know, prayer is boring. Prayer is not very exciting. Prayer is a burden. Prayer is something that certain kinds of people do, but not so much for me. But prayer and the call to prayer, and especially the Lord's Prayer, is supposed to be embraced by us as good news. That there is a gift given to us like prayer, that the God who made the heavens and the earth wants to meet with us. He wants to connect with us. He wants to commune or communicate with us. He wants to use our prayers in His big kingdom plan. Daryl Johnson is the senior pastor at the First Baptist Church in Vancouver. He's written a little book on prayer, on the Lord's Prayer. I think it's called something like 57 Words That Change the World. Because in the Greek language, in Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer is 57 words, but pretty short. And he says, when we pray, God is granting us the unspeakable privilege of partnering with Him in fulfilling His purposes in the world. No prayer has given us that privilege more than the Lord's Prayer. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we participate in the transformation of the world. Now that should be good news to us. Amazing news. That we have this avenue of prayer. And that we're called to pray, invited to pray to a God who is our Father in heaven. I was trying to think, there's all kinds of names for God in the Bible, but I think the name, Our Father in Heaven, becomes the best news, or the bestest good news, or the bestest good name that we can use for God. Maybe some of you can think of a better name. But this morning I'm suggesting Jesus gives us the best name. And He tells us that God has a wonderful name that's meant to be respected and honored. There's a glorious kingdom for us to enter, that God has a good and sovereign will for us. There's good news that God provides for us. He offers us forgiveness and empowers us to forgive others. That deliverance from evil and the evil one is possible. But there's also, I believe, good news for us at Nelson Avenue, because the Lord's Prayer connects with our mission vision. Our renewed mission and vision statements. Now, I said it before, I'll say it again. For me, I'm trying to keep it really simple. So when I think about what God has called us to do at Nelson Avenue, I think just three things in my mind. All kinds of other words we could use, but I just keep thinking, love God, love others, do justice. And the Lord's Prayer helps us do those three things. When we pray, hallowed be your name, We're at least partly we're praying, Lord, may your name be so treasured and honored and respected by me and others that we grow to love your name and we love you. And when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth as is done in heaven, we're praying at least partly, do justice, Lord. Because your kingdom won't come, your will won't be done if the injustice going on now continues on. So Lord, bring your justice, let it roll on like a mighty flood. And then when we pray the Lord's Prayer, and I can't probably say enough about this morning, but when we use words like us and our, I believe we're trying to love others. So when we pray our Father in heaven, I think part of the prayer should be, Lord, I want to experience you as Father, but I also want other people to experience you as their Father in heaven. When we pray, give us today our daily bread, Lord, provide for me, but also provide for others. When we pray, forgive us our sins, yes, Lord, forgive me, but also forgive him and forgive her. May they also know of your forgiveness. When we pray, deliver us from the evil one and from evil, yes, Lord, deliver me, but also deliver others I'm thinking about and maybe those I don't even know yet. So to pray the Lord's Prayer focus on God, but also focus on others is a way for us to love Him, to love God, but also to love those around us. And I was thinking, if we could, in our minds or in our hearts, in our lives, embrace prayer as invitation, but also prayer as good news, I wonder what God might do through us. Little Nelson Avenue. That when we interact with people, and this is my experience recently, my experience again, that there are sometimes people we interact with who, I'm not sure if they believe in God. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. They don't tell me. They don't know much about Jesus. But when I offer to pray with them, even a short prayer, what I might call a really simple prayer, they don't typically say no. They say, okay, let's try that. Go ahead. And I've had the experience recently of someone saying, that was helpful. I'm sort of wondering if we started praying, or if we started embracing prayer as invitation and good news, and we started offering prayer to others, if that would be a way that God would draw people to Himself. That we would say, there's a gift here I want to share with you. And maybe for a part of my life it was felt like a burden, but it's becoming a gift. And I want to share this prayer with you, this prayer time with you. It can be really simple, because Jesus taught me to pray really simple. Can I share that with you? And might God use this moment here to draw you to Him? I want to just take a few moments and try and answer some questions that people had about prayer. And these are questions that I've had and thought about, and also maybe some of you might say, I've been thinking about that as well. So this morning, the drama did a good job of trying to address the question, how do I know that God is really listening? Somebody asked me that. How do I know that God is really listening to my prayers? And for me, that's a great question, because I'm assuming the person who asks that question is praying. Right? It's a question that comes out of a prayerful, or at least I'm trying to pray. How do I know that God's really listening? And I think, I would assume, it's something that all of us want. We don't want to be just talking to the walls of the air, or simply to myself. I want to know that God is listening. And this kind of prayer, this kind of question for me connects with other kinds of questions, right? How do I know that God exists? Or how do I know that God exists, if I believe God exists, listens to my prayers and responds to me? So if you are someone who says, I don't believe God exists, then it's tough for me to say, yes, God's going to listen to your prayers. So there has to be at least an openness. Yeah, there is a God. He's listening. He's able to respond. But then for me, the question becomes very specific. For me to give anyone guarantee that God is listening, I have to ask them, do you believe that Jesus Christ gives you access to God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is your access to God? That you can't simply come to God all on your own, but as the Bible says, He is our advocate. He is our mediator. He is our high priest. He is in between God and me, and He's ushering me, the image in the Bible is, as I come into prayer, I come into the prayer room of, I come into the throne room of God, and Jesus Christ is the one who opens the doors for me. He gives me access to God the Father, and then doesn't just leave me in the prayer room all by myself, but he's in the throne room with me, helping me in my prayers. So if you believe that Jesus Christ gives you that kind of access to God, then I would encourage people who are wondering, does God really listen to me? Just keep believing that through Jesus, you have access. That through Jesus, God is listening. He is responding to your prayers. Now that might seem a little simplistic, I realize. Very quick answer. But I can't answer the question for people, how do I know God's listening, unless I hear them respond to, what do you think about Jesus? Do you see Him as the one who is the way to the Father? And if you do, I want to encourage you to believe that He is the way. He gives you the way, and He is the one who guarantees that God the Father hears you and responds to you. A second question related to the first is, what do we do about unanswered prayer? What do I do when God is not answering my prayers? And as I thought about that question, I had to ask the question, can God not answer prayers prayed in the name of Jesus Christ? Can God not answer prayers? Is it possible for God to not answer prayers prayed in the name of Jesus? Through Jesus? I would say no. God always answers prayers through Jesus. Now, just like for you and I, in our conversation with people or in our interaction with people, we have all kinds of ways we can answer them. We can say, yes, I will do exactly what you asked of me. Or I might say, no, I'm not going to do that because it's not good for you. But when I say no, or when God says no, He's still answering. He's still responding. Or God might say, yes, but you'll have to wait. Maybe wait a long time. Or He might say, yes, but it's going to look very different than what you think it's going to look like. I'm going to say yes, but you're going to need some eyes of faith to say, oh, I was expecting this kind of response, but God is giving me this. He's saying yes, but it's this kind of reality He's putting into my life. So maybe the question is really, what do I do when God does not give me what I want? So He's always answering, but when He says no to me, and when that happens, I want to encourage us to believe that God has answered. He has responded to us. His answer might be no, but He has responded to us. To trust that God's no is God's best for us, that God the Father knows what we need even before we ask Him. And then to pray and long for faith that goes deeper than my wishes and desires. Because sometimes I feel in my life, God, if you give me what I want, then I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to trust myself to you. So this is the kind of faith that says, I'm not getting exactly what I want, but I'm still going to trust you, O God. I'm still going to trust in you, a faith that goes deeper than my wants or desire, or I really, really want this, and God's not giving it to me, so I want to have a faith that goes deeper than that. I entrust myself to God even when my want is not being met. I'm hoping in some way those things could be helpful to us, but I want to leave you or leave us with a final thought here about unanswered prayer, which I hope won't be confusing. But when I think about God the Father and Jesus the Son giving us access, and God the Father, I was asking this morning in our small group, can God ever say no to Jesus? Can the Father ever say no to the Son? I don't think so. I don't think He ever did. Now, I know someone said, Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus prayed, take this cup away from me, and then we remind ourselves, well, that wasn't the end of the prayer, was it? Not my will, but yours be done. And the Father answered that prayer with a yes, my will be done. I don't think God ever says no to Jesus. Now, it's not like God, the Father, and the Son are in conflict, right? But they're so perfectly attuned. So I want to suggest to us this morning that because of Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, God will always say yes to our prayers for ourselves, for other believers, and for the world in general. That yes could be today, that yes could be next year, but that yes could be when Christ comes back. There's always going to be a yes to our prayers for ourselves, for other believers, and for the world in general. So this morning, when I think about people in our church community that we pray for, we want them to be healed. We pray, and we should be praying for them. I believe that when I pray for healing for a fellow brother or sister in Christ, I believe that I might not see it right now. I might not see it in this life. But God will one day say yes to my prayer when He raises us from the dead and gives us bodies that can never decay again. Now, I know that sometimes for us that's not quick enough. I want something faster. That's not a yes. That sounds like a no to me. But when I think about what the Bible's doing, trying to get our perspective bigger than today, bigger than my life, trying to see the history, the working of God from beginning to now to the future, it's trying to have us see a big vision. And sometimes those prayers take a long time to answer. But in Christ, God's response is always yes and amen.